Okay. But I thought it's how that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned once in this week's parasha. Since Moshe Rabbeinu came upon the scene, this is really the only parasha where his name is not mentioned. And Sefer Dvarim you have, because over there he was speaking to the Bnei Yisrael, so Mela's name is not mentioned. But other than that, and you see over here, the Torah went out of its way not to mention his name. You should have said, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lamer, Tzavah's Bnei Yisrael. It says, Vayatot Tzavah. So as you do, the Gros says, because Zayin Ador, the Yortzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, comes out usually this week. So it's a remez that he was Nifter this week. The Baal HaTurim says that why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned over here? Because in next week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu said, either you come with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Masal Kishchina from going with Klal Yisrael, so he's going to send the Malach instead. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you'll go with us, good. If not, Mecheni no Misifr HaShekosov. So Lamaisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu did go with the Bnei Yisrael. Tzadik, when he says something, it doesn't go in vain. It has to be Mekuyim. So Moshe Rabbeinu's words were Mekuyim at least once in this week's parasha. It doesn't say his name. So back to Chedushi Arim, he says, that's a reason to leave out Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Lahepach. He should have screamed Moshe Rabbeinu's name out 1,000 times over. Who in history wants his name to be erased from history? Certainly not the people in office right now, and the kings and queens, that they want their names to be remembered. Moshe Rabbeinu, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, he says, Mecheni no Misifr HaShem HaSofta. He's mamish giving himself up for Klal Yisrael. So Hashem listens. If anything, Hashem should scream his name out more. So, Zokta Chedushi Harim, actually, he didn't say it on this. He said it on something else, but it's applied over here. Sifsei Tzadik applies what the Chedushi Harim said. He says that lehepach, when you mention a person's name, there's an I there. There's a, the mensch himself is there. There's a noichius. There's his own ego there. By not mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu's name, it's showing us he was mevatel himself totally for the Torah and for Klal Yisrael, that he and the Torah mamish become one. There's no I over here. There's no Moshe over here. It's totally Moshe and the Torah are bound as one to the extent that he dissolves into the Torah. That's the biggest praise you could say for Moshe Rabbeinu. At the end of the Torah, what was the biggest godless Moshe Rabbeinu? Chol ha-moira ha-godol asher osa le'enei kol Yisrael. What was that? He broke the Luchas, Rashi says. That's the apex, that's the high point of Moshe Rabbeinu's career. Yeah, because when he broke the Luchas, that means he was giving up his career. He's being revival his career. He didn't know there was going to be a Lucas Shnias. He didn't know there was going to be a future. But he felt that this is what Klal Yisrael needs, and he shock therapy. And he did it, even though he knew that maybe his job is out, finished. He's out of a job. Total his battles for the sake of Klal Yisrael. So not mentioning his name means he and the Torah are one. Where did the Chedush Yerim say this? There's a Gemara in Bava Kama Dav Samech Aleph. The Gemara says, one time during the Melchama, David HaMelech was mesupik in a certain halacha. So there were a number of his soldiers that ran to the Sanhedrin. They were, you know, they put themselves in danger, and they found out the halacha. So David HaMelech said over the halacha, he didn't say it over in their name. So he said, why not? So he says, kach mekublani. And this is the way I was mekabel from the Bezin of Shmuel HaRamasi, kol ha-maiser nafshel d'rei Torah, ain't Imrim halacha mishmai. Someone's maiser nefesh for Torah, you don't say the halacha over in his name. What's the pshat? Ipcha mistavri, he's maiser nefesh for Torah, you're not going to say it over in his name. The Mashal says, he's begetter of an einish, he shouldn't have put himself in such a sakana. But the Chedush Yerim is lehepach, that someone says over halacha, there's a little bit of a hepsik between himself and the Torah. There's the eye over there. There's the mensch over there. That's a little bit of a chatzitza. If someone's willing to give up his life for Torah and he's mevatel himself completely, there is no chatzitza. He and the Dvar Torah become one and the same. So Mamela's name is not mentioned, and that's what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu over here. It says, V'ator hakrev eilechas aron ochicha v'ezbonav itay, Mitoich b'nei Yisrael, l'chahanoi li. You bring them forth from amidst the b'nei Yisrael. What does it mean from amidst the Bnei Yisrael. So I saw a pshat from a tzaddik from Moshe Yaakov Ribikov. It's like a tzaddik Levrocha. He was known as the sandler, the shoemaker. It wasn't after long ago. He said that when Shmuel HaNavi came to anoint Shaul as the melech, so Shaul, he hid. He was a nechbe el akelim. He hid. And only after he was taken out of there, it says, by Yisyatzei B'Sai Cha'am. But l'chitchil, he hid himself. There was a midav anova over there, Shaul HaMelech. So here also, you could say that the bechira of Aaron and his sons, their makom was B'Sai B'nai Yisrael. They didn't hold of themselves. They didn't feel themselves outstanding. They were B'Sai B'nai Yisrael. They ran away from the covet. And that was good for their godless. Mitoich b'nei Yisrael, because they were toich b'nei Yisrael, and they considered themselves like regular people, one of the nation, that was good for their godless. You find also Yisrael told Moshe, v'ato tegze mikol ha'on, anshe chayil yireh l'kim anshe emes, soinei botza. You have to look amongst the entire nation, because they're not outstanding, they hold themselves to be small, they're nister somewhere in Avinkel, they're sitting and learning or davening, over, they're not out in the open. That has to be Mikol Ha'am. So you do a Chazaynish, he sat in an attic in Vilna, he learned, nobody knew from him. Rav Chaim Oizer discovered him, and Rav Chaim Oizer was mefarsing him a little bit. And Rav Chaim Oizer wanted him to become a big chelik, a doer in the tzibur. Interesting, his brother, Rav Meir Karelitz, was a big, tremendous askin. But Chazaynish was Mamish Nechbe El HaKelim. So one time, Chaim Oizer brought the Chazaynish, Chofetz Chaim came to Vilna, and the Chazaynish came there, Chaim Oizer asked him to come, and the Chofetz Chaim started talking, and Kedarkoi, Ruach HaKoidish, Medaber Betoit Groinai, he says, it's an honor kunz to sit by yourself, you know, it's Mishkin kunz to sit by yourself. I also would like to write Kedushei Torah. He says, they used to say, they used to call me an Ilui when I was younger. And I also would like to write Chedushei Torah, but Klal Yisrael doesn't have time for me to write Chedushei Torah. And there's no kunz for a person to hide himself. And shortly thereafter is when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and that's when he came out in the open, he helped found B'nai Brak. But that's Mitoich B'nai Yisrael. He too was a Nechbe El HaKelim. Va'ato tedaber el kol chachmei leiv. You should speak to all the chachmei leiv, Hashem yileisiv ruach chachmei. The Chayvus Halvavus in the Hagdama, he says that in the heart of every person, there's a little seed of Chochmah and Yirah. And just like a seed that's planted in the ground cannot grow, it won't germinate, it won't give off fruits, unless you water it, you nurture it, you cultivate the ground, and you work on it, then it's going to give off fruits. The same thing, every person has that little seed within him. If you work on it, if you water it, and you cause it to sprout, it's going to yield tremendous papers. So Chasam Sofer says that that's the pshat in the pasuk over here. Va'ato tedaber el kol chachmei leiv. You have to tell them all, Hashem yileisiv ruach chachma. They have that seed within them. You can own the biggest treasure. If you're not aware of the treasure, it's worthless. You don't have it. You have to notify them that. And similarly, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch said, Matana Tovi Yeshli Bebeis Gnozni V'Shabbos Shema. Leich V'Hoidiyam, you have to notify them. If you don't notify someone that he has a treasure, then it's worthless. It doesn't do any good. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu, notify them that I planted in them a special Ruach Chachma. You have to know about it. When you don't know about it, it's like you don't possess the treasure. And that's why everybody like that. Everybody has that ruach within him that he has to germinate and he has to cause to sprout. And we have to realize that. Everybody has his own unique talent that the other one doesn't have. And if you don't know about it, then it's worthless. That's nekuda number one. The next nekuda, v'osu as big they are in the kavshei l'chanoi li. It says that the people that are working on the begadim, they should make the beged, the big day aron, the kachoy lechahanoi li, to serve me. So how you have to understand? In the earlier pasuk, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, v'osiso big day kodesh lechavad ulesefares, for honor and for glory. And here it says, but when you instruct them to make the big day kahuna, those that are working on it, it should be l'kachoy l'chanoi li. So the Alter tells the Rav, Yosef Yudalei Bloch, Zechitzami B'Kodesh L'Bracha, he said that the Big Day Kuhuna, as all the Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash, and as the Mishkan itself, they had two components to it. Number one, they had the Pnimius component, the Kedusha, the Kavanas that were put into it. There's Hoiche Mamish Tifa, Hoiche Kavanas that was Mitzdarev, the Mishkan down here to Shemayim up there, and it was a gateway to Shemayim. Moira the Ketifa Kavanas and being Mitzarev Oisius and Neurevayim. That's the Pnimius the Kavana. In addition to that, there's the Chitzonius the Kavana, the beauty of it. Kiveger, when his son wanted to put in his Kedushim, so Kiveger makes a Tanai in putting out the Kedushim, the Kedushim, it has to be a nice print. Has to be a nice print. Why? Because the Nefesh is misspoiled when it sees something nice and something clear, it has an effect on the Nefesh. So too over here, besides the Heiche Kavanis, they have to be beautiful because people respect something that's beautiful. The Big Day Kuhuna had to gain respect for the Kohen. The Avoda needed the respect of the people. So Mimela, there was an Indian of seeing the beauty of it. So to Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Seidus of everything. And Moshe Rabbeinu was for sure bound to be involved with the Kavanas. Because Baruch had to tell him, but don't forget the Kavod of the Sefaris. That aspect is also important. There was no shash that Moshe Rabbeinu would forget the Iker. So Hashem had to tell him, you should make begodim l'chavod l'sefaras. Don't forget the chitzonius as well. When you command the people working on the begodim, them you should tell it's l'katzay l'chanayli. To them, there's a chash. If they're going to concentrate on the chitzonius, on the beauty, they might leave the ikker and they might be totally involved in the tafel. So to them, you should tell them, it's l'katshay l'chan le'li, they should have the kedusha k'kavonis, don't neglect that, and be oisik in the chitzonius. So these last two machshavas are a very good hakdamah to Purim. What's pshat? You just said before that you should let them know, Hashem yileisim ruach chochmet. If you don't understand that you have a matana, then you don't have it. Purim is a gevaldige matana. Purim is a gevaldige matana. A tremendous kodesh dike treasure that the Sfarim HaKadoshim say come from a mokum gavaya, from a very, very, very high place. And if we understand that, then we could utilize it. Number two, there's also a chitzonius dike aspect to Purim. There's the enjoyment of it, the physical enjoyment of it, which is very important. It's Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. But at the same time, you can't neglect the pnimius of the yontif for the outside. I just saw from the Chofetz Chaim, Heiliger Chofetz Chaim used to go around selling his svarim. So he used to say, I'm going to make an asik. I'm being asik in an asik. But he didn't mean the business of svarim. He meant, I'm going to make an asik for Hashem to be makar. He meant to be makar of Levavis. And what did he do? He would give a drosha at night by Meiriv. He wouldn't sell his svarim then. The next morning, after davening, he put out the svarim and people would take and he would sell it. What was his mechuvin? He says, by davening, people open up their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch. And then when the heart is open, it's a welcome to want to be kind of more ruchnias. Oh, but people wonder, so why don't you do it right after the drosha the night before? That's when the Yisayiris came, that's when they're... But he didn't, he didn't answer. One of the Einiklach said that the reason was because by him, the Ikku was the drosha, not the selling the Svarim. And he was afraid that if he sells the Svarim then, it'll look like the drosha is an advertisement. He didn't want to take away from the Roshim of the Ikku, from the Asik for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to realize, and Rav Elie Meir Bloch Zatzal, we used to say shmuz in yeshiva, he used to say big yesoidus. Sometimes something happened in the yeshiva, a ma'isa with Bachrim, so you had to speak about that in the shmuz. So for shteitzach, after the shmuz, they used to say, what does he mean? What's he referring to? Who's he referring to? So when he heard this, he used to say, they're leaving the ikker and they're being typhus the tuffle. He said, what's it done with two? Guy's a fresh, delicious challah that has raisins in it. They pick out the raisins and they leave the delicious challah. The Russian gives them. He says, here's the asaidas that were said to make a Russian. So with the yomtiv, it's the same thing. For states of the chitzonius is important, but you have to remember what the ikar is. And I'd like to share with you a gem, which I feel it's a new insight into what Purim is, which I was able to find, the Yaris Dvash. Yaris Dvash, Chelik Beis, and his drush on Zion Adar. It says a myriadic thing. The Gemara Masecht is human. The Gemara says over there, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Lam Natseach ala Yelas Hashachar Mizmer Lidab. It's Kapitel Chavdeis. This parak, Chazal say, is what Esther Hamalka said when she came into the Chazar of Achashverosh, and the Ruach HaKodesh left her. She said this Kapitel, Keli Keli, Loma Azavtan. Chazal say, it's a Gemara Masecht is Yuma, that Nimshla Esther Lashachar, Yelas Hashachar, the brightening of the dawn, Esther is Nimshala to the morning. Why? Because just like Shachar is Soif Kol HaLayla, Af Esther Soif Kol HaNisim. It's the last of the Nisim. Where Esther is Hanukkah, or it says Nitnali Kosev Gomar. The Nisim that are recorded in Tanakh, Esther is the last of the Nisim. So the famous Kasha is, so that's why she's Nimshala to Shachar. If it's the last of the Nisim, it should be compared to the beginning of the night, right? Nisim light up, Nisim and Ma'ira, and they're mayor for us, that there's a Bayre Yolam. So why does it say she's Seif Kol HaLayla? If anything, it's Seif Kol HaYom. She's the beginning of the night time. Furthermore, Frechter of Yain is an Aibshitz, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Nisim never stopped in Klal Yisrael, so they're just hidden. There's hidden Nisim every day. La'oysa neflois gedolos levadai. He makes neflois gedolos that only he knows that they're Nisim. They're hidden, but he does make Nisim. So what does it mean that Esther was the last of the Nisim? So he says, I'm the key aside. He says, the Yidden, when they were in the Midbar, there were a lot of Yidden that believed in the Deya, the false Deya of the philosophers, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He's talking to Bayri Yailam. However, Hayashi is so exalted. Hayashi is so, you know, above everything. So he went up to Shamayim, and he's not much geach on the breeze, not much geach on the day-to-day routine. That's beneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do. That he doesn't do. This was the day of the original philosophers. And because of that, they say he gave it over to Shluchim. That's why they served Sarei Maila, and they served the sun and the planets, and they brought karbonis to them. Partially because they believe Hashem is too exalted to be mashgiach and everything. For states, and those are days kaisers. But there were many Yidden that believed that. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make Nisim from time to time to show them, take a look, I am mashgiach. I take a look, I do take care, and I do worry about your daily routine. But the problem with an ace is a temporary hazayrus, bizehu. It could be compared to someone that eats a big bag of candy and he gets a high on sugar and his mom is full of energy bouncing off the walls. I once had a boy in my shir, very edible boy. Came back from Enes Man and he's bouncing off the walls. Well, what in the world's going on? You know, I have to have a talk with this boy. So I waited a day, waited another day, but you know, nothing changed. So I say, finally, I decided that day I'm going to speak with him, but I didn't have to speak to him. I found the source of the problem. He came back with this big bag of candy. Mamish. I took the candy away. Problem solved. He was able again. Yeah. So sugar, it gives you energy. You got to hide from the sugar. But then when you stop, you get sugar withdrawal. Oy vey, very schwach. That's what Nisim are like. And Ebenezer Eichshitz says, that's the biggest darkness. If you're only Sonech on Nisim, and then between the Nisim, you're on a low, and then you go back to the old ways, that's living in the darkness. The Maisa of Purim, the Nes of Purim, were Nisim, but they were not changing the Teva. They were Nisim to the daily routine, with no changing of the Teva. If you make a cheshbon, the Grah makes this cheshbon, we paskin l'halacha, that you have to hear the Megillah mitchilah b'atzayif. As machloikis, from where should a person hear the Megillah to be yotze? Hayais Mikra Megillah, besides being one of the Yichav Dalet Svarim, the Ikar is Parsumei, we read it as Parsumei Nisa. So from where is the Ikar Parsumei Nisa? That's where the Rizka Rav learned. Mish Yehudi Hayyub Shushan Abira, Balaila Hu, Nodu Noshnas HaMelech, we Paskin, it's Ma'akir from the beginning till the end. Why? If you look at the very first capital of the Megillah, pasuk by pasuk, you see the Yad Hashem there. Number one, by Yomim Ahem, Kisheves HaMelech HaChashverish Al Kisei Malchusei Asher B'Shushan HaBira. Zok the Gra, that's Hashgachim. The capital of Paras and Madai was not in Shushan HaBira, it was in Eilim. But HaChashverish chapped this attack in his head that he wanted a throne that was similar to that of Shlomo HaMelech. And the only place where he could find craftsmen was in Shushan HaBira. So they worked for years on this big, magnificent throne. And afterwards, when it came time to transporting it to Elam, they couldn't do it. So if you can't bring the throne to the capital, you have to bring the capital to the throne. What was the Hashgach in this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the Nes is going to happen through Mordechai and Esther, and they lived in Shushan HaBira. So he brought the whole Melucha with the Kiri Masik, what it means to bring a whole capital, bring Washington, D.C. to Muncie, you know, because the Tzaddikim live here or whatever, right? That's what it was like. That was Hashgach. The whole business of Achashverosh making a Mishnah and telling Vashti to come with only Keser Malchus al Roisha, which normal mensch does that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed it into his head. Vatama'ena Malka Vashti. The Gemara asked the question. Michdi? Shneyan Ludvar Ervin is Chavnu. Why didn't she come? She was a prutz in the floor. Why didn't she come? Porcha Botzaras. And the Masnisa Tana, Gavriel came and played pinned the tail on the donkey. You know? So she had both things. So that also was the Yad Hashem. And then it says, Vayikzoy Pamelech Ma'oid Bachamosei Bo'arabai. Frag the Gemara, Am I Dolke Be'kula Hai? And the Gro explained, Bishlami got angry on the outside. Good. Kamasi Barabai was something was burning within him that he couldn't get out. He couldn't express it to anybody. There's something secret there. She sent them a very humiliating message. Ahuraira de Bay Abba, you stable keeper, you manure cleaner. You were the stable keeper of my father. You know, my father used to drink and nothing affected him. And you drank a little bit and look at you. This Michigan, that's the worst insult you can give a guy. He doesn't know how to drink. Or you're not a man. You know, it was humiliating. That goofy was Hashgach. Why couldn't you just send them back? I can't come. I'd like to come, but I'm sick, whatever it is, a nice way. That goofy was Hashgach. And now Achashverosh, as the Malbim learns, he already calmed down a little bit. He didn't want to get her killed because she was, you know, he liked her as a queen. So he tried, you know, defending her or whatever. And he asked Shevet Yisachar, and they didn't want to say anything. You know, and he asked his advisors. Vayomer Memuchon Ufei HaMelech. He jumped up. Mikansha Hedyet Kaifiz Bereish. The simpleton. He jumps up in front of everybody and he opens up his mouth. Layal HaMelech L'Alei Yosef Ashtiam. Akashverus is trying to make it like it's a spat between husband and wife. It's no big deal. No! This is not just between you and your wife. Kyalku, Hasarim, Balku, Amin. And he's darshening over there. This, of course, came back to haunt him later because Achashverosh had a grudge against him. But not only that, two things came out of this. Number one, he said to Malamelach type, he should do it on his own without asking anybody any questions. This came back to haunt him. Because later on, when it came to killing him, had Achashverosh have to come on to his cabinet and his advisors, Haman had friends in the Malchus, you know. But because Imala Melech Toiv, it's all totally in you. Haman got killed right away. Second of all, they sent out letters, Li Yois Kolish Soirer Bebesum Dabar Kilshain Amar. Chazal say, Il Mole Svarma Rishainim, there wouldn't have been a remnant, Kasa Shalom of Klal Yisrael. There. They get this gold-plated letter envelope from the king. Everybody's looking forward to seeing what great declaration does the king have over here. When they open it up, hear ye, by order of King Achashverosh, every man should be the head of his household. What's this guy, nuts? I'm sugar. He says, even a weaver, a guy has a lowly job as the head of his household. I need Achashverosh to tell me this. So when the next letters came, they threw it in the garbage. They didn't take it seriously. So this goof was Hashgach, one after the other, and it goes like that. So they saw B'soi Chateva Hashem is with us, and that ingrained emunah in them. That is living in the light. That's why Esther is Soif Kol HaLaila. If you have to be Soimach HaNisan, that's the new, the Heron ain't Soimach HaNis. You can't be Soimach HaMuna HaNis. But if it's ingrained in you, that Hashem is with you on a daily basis, that is the daytime. And Purim instilled in Klal Yisrael the daytime. They were able to survive Churban Bayis Sheni and the terrible goddess of Rome with all of the tortures and the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades before that. And Xavier's Tachvatan Chulnitsky with all of the expulsions in World War II, the Yidden Archai Bekayim. And this all came about because of Purim, because they saw the Yad Hashem, and the night became day for them. Laihudim Haisa Oira. Literally, it became light. That is what the Yontif of Purim is all about. So actually, give us tremendous simcha. Give us tremendous simcha. That on a daily basis, everybody has their nisyonis, everybody has their shverikaitin, whatever, in various facets of life. Purim instilled in us that emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us every step of the way, b'saych ha-teva, he's mashgiach on us, and we're taka living in a day. So I want to be messiah with the vort. It says at the end of the Megillah, v'yosem ha-melech ha-cheshverish mas al-iyei hayom. He put it, it's like the apex of the Megillah. Achashverosh put a tax on the islands of the sea. Like, why in the world do I care if he put a tax on the islands? Like, why? Does that add to my Simchas Purim that he filled his coffers with the taxes? What exactly is it? So I heard one of the Balei Musar said, these 11 years of the Megillah, from beginning till the end, they were years of upheaval. Story of Vashti being Mavaza, the king Barabbas. Vashti, the queen, getting killed, the daughter of Belshazzar and granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, she's killed. She's replaced by Esther, a new queen. There's an assassination attempt. There's Haman that comes to power, and Haman is overthrown, and he's killed in Ahapoku. And more, tremendous, tremendous rocky ups and downs. So you would think that Achashverosh would be changed because of that. What did Achashverosh take from the whole story? He collected taxes. So the Megillah is telling us, don't be Achashverosh Jr. Don't be a little Achashverosh. Take the Yontif of Purim, take the Megillah, take the lessons of the Megillah, and be mesameach with the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like we said, when you have a Chitzonius Dikid thing and a Pnimius Dikid thing, don't neglect the Pnimius. The Chitzonius is important, very important, but don't neglect the Pnimius. That's a lesson to be learned. Guten Shabbos and Afreilich and Purim.
Who says this part about the fact that they ignored? I saw what they said first.